Good morning and welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am Ted Maxwell and this is the Engagement Hour. I've got Matt Neely behind the glass, as always, keeping me on time and on target. And I've given him full rein on the music today too. So I can't wait to see what you bring in, Matt. It will be good. See, that's we'll let her bring it out, and it will come out through our conversation. And maybe we'll jump around. I mean, jump around. No, I won't go there with that one. You don't want me going down that road. So the purpose of the Engagement Hour is to encourage everyone to get involved. We have rights and responsibilities in this country. I do believe we live in the greatest country in the world, but that means we have to be engaged. Quite often that's with our vote. It's one of our most sacred rights, and I stress the idea of being an engaged voter. Today we'll be able to speak with a newly elected official as part of this, but it's also with being involved. And today, this morning, I want to talk a little bit before I bring Carla on about three separate op-eds that were in the paper. We heard Christy Simone this morning on Wake Up Tucson talk quite heavily about Pat DeConcini's piece on Prop 414. But right below it, there was an article on the RTA Next. It was authored by Miranda Schubert, who's very engaged in the community. She's run for public office before. I've had some great conversations with her about it. And I'm going to try to see if she'll come join me on the radio after the New Year's, because it would be a total different perspective, I think, from what you might hear on both Wake Up Tucson and sometimes normally on Jump in Tucson, because she is an absolute advocate for increased transit, for increased walkability of communities, and increased bicycleability, I guess, of transit. But the challenge I have, and she's got a lot of good points in her article and what she wants to bring on. And again, I respect her because she's open for conversations. We've had great talks. The challenge I continue to have as we go towards RTA Next, and it was ironic, you know, RTA, we've moved the vote to November, and because of 414 being in March, and now here it is, probably the two leading articles out of the paper to bring 414, and right below it's one on RTA Next, and encouraging at this time, no on RTA Next as well. But I sometimes believe we forget in the city of Tucson and in Pima County that we are what we are. And we're 246 square miles, I believe, for the city of Tucson. There's very few, if any, major metropolitan areas that thrive with incredibly effective and coordinated transit services, whether it's subways, streetcars, light rail, or in-depth bus services that work really well for the entire city. 246 miles is a lot of land, a lot of land to cover. It'd be very difficult to make the entirety of it available for good transit service without really breaking the bank in a lot of ways. The thing that I think people have to consider is there's been a lot of advocacy inside the city of Tucson for 15-minute cities. And I read a study last week that showed the 15-minute cities, and inside of Tucson, if you're between about the university, the city of Tucson, and about maybe a mile or less on the west side of the freeway, we are a 15-minute city. You've got the capacity, we've got the transit services, we've got the bike, we've got the ped, we've got the streetcar. You can get pretty much anywhere. But you get out by Houghton, you get out into Nikki Lee's ward, and you get into Paul Cunningham's ward, and it just doesn't work that way. It's still more suburban, still more spread out, and we've got to remember that as we work through the RTA and all these issues. So I'm looking forward today to bringing Carla Morales on after the break, and we're going to go early to the break so we can get a lot of time with her. She's got quite an interesting story to tell, as well as her engagement, not just in a new public office of a member of the PCC board of governors, but also in her day job. And we'll talk about that when we get back. So you're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Stay with us, and there's a lot to be learned. We'll be right back. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. This is the Engagement Hour. I am Ted Maxwell, and I'm already getting texts and comments about my 15-minute city comment. the point I was trying to make is 246 square miles, roughly, for the city of Tucson is very difficult to make the entire city a 15-minute city. But there are definitely segments, and I just learned something new about Carla Morales. She does live on the west side of town, and she says what she loves about where she lives is she can get pretty much anywhere in 15 minutes. So she's pretty happy about that. So Carla, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Ted. It's a pleasure to be here. Before I start, can I please take the privilege to say one quick little very important note to me?
Absolutely.
I want to say congratulations. It is such a privilege to be sitting in the room with a man of the year. And like I said it before in a meeting, they got it wrong. It's not really the man of the year. It's the man of the decade. Your background is so incredibly diverse, and you have so many incredible contributions to our community. So I want to say thank you for having me here, and thank you for sharing the space with me, because it is definitely a privilege.
Well, Carla, I appreciate those comments. It's definitely still something I'm getting used to, people giving me congratulations on that. But now I'll ask you some real tough questions. By the time we're done, maybe you'll go, I don't want to talk to that guy ever again in my life.
Not at all.
No. We'll see. So Carla, you heard me kind of on the intro talking about how to get folks engaged. I mean, some people serve our country through the military, some as first responders. We've got educators, you've got healthcare personnel, a lot of nonprofits that do incredible work. There's always a way for somebody to get involved. And I like to do it through people's stories like your own.
Thank you.
So, I'll say you were born in Nogales, Sonora, Mexico. But you've lived here in Tucson for 34 years. Why don't you kind of fill us in between the your birth and how you got here, and how you became engaged?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to share my story, my background. It is always a pleasure for me to be able to talk a little bit more about where I come from, because if you know anything about me, you know that family is everything to me. And I always say that the person you see in front of you and the person that everybody sees out and about, it is really just the peak of the amazing people and the shoulders of the giants that I stand on, and those are my parents. My parents brought us to Phoenix. We were all immigrants, and my parents were in search of better opportunities for their family. So they traveled to Phoenix to spend some time with family and like I said, in search of new opportunities. Phoenix was not the right place for us, so my dad decided to bring us closer to family. So we got here to Tucson when I started seventh grade. And so I had the opportunity to begin my first month here in Tucson. I started junior high at Mansfield Middle School, and then I went to Tucson High School, and then I went to Pima Community College, and then eventually ended up with getting 2 degrees from the University of Arizona. So I kept it all within a 5-mile radius, within those 15 minutes that you talked about earlier. But in that process, we did a lot of different things. I don't know that many people know this about me, but I used to be a disc jockey, because my parents, my dad in particular, was very closely related to music, and he was a disc jockey at a radio station in Nogales. And when he came to the U.S., he had to figure out how to blend and merge his background with his current new beginning. So he developed his own disc jockey company. And at 12 years old, he decided to make my brother, my sister, and I disc jockeys. And at 12 years old, I remember the fear of being at a wedding and my dad handing me a list of names and saying, you're going to do the introduction of the Court of Honor. One of the most terrifying things I've ever experienced, and I didn't want to do it. And he said, oh, it's not optional. You're doing it. And so I did. And that for me set the tone that everything that has happened in my life, every challenge, every obstacle, every fear was an opportunity for growth, an opportunity for something different. I had the privilege of being in radio for a little bit, my brother and my father for longer. I was much more prone to community engagement, giving back and getting involved in anything that had to do with social services and education. So I started volunteering at a community center doing pancake breakfast for the elderly at the Southwest Community Center near the Valencia area. And that's how my career in community service began at 14 years old. So DJing and doing community service for different areas, whether it was the Southwest Community Center or the El Pueblo Community Center. One of the things that I take a great deal of pride in is When I started Pima Community College, I needed a job. And so I was one of the original founders of the KITCO program that many people know about. We started this program by going around the schools after school and saying, hey, do your parents need after school care? And so we created this program where we had kids come over to the El Pueblo Neighborhood Center. And that's what became eventually the KITCO program that many parents rely on today to be able to feel comfortable that their kids are in a safe environment. So I'm very proud of that work. So I went off on my tangents, because as I usually do. But so I came from Mexico. I came to school here. I fell in love with Tucson. I fell in love with the people. And Tucson just became home to me, because we're a city with such rich culture, such diversity. And diversity to me means truly diversity, not just who we are as individuals, but how we think. We have such a large diversity of thought as well. And I love to be involved with people that challenge me and with people that teach me and that people that help me grow. And so as I've gone through my professional and my personal career and in my community engagement, I've always involved myself with individuals and with organizations that I feel that are truly invested in creating that impact and moving that needle. And so my first professional community engagement, I would say, was there was four of us that were young single moms that decided that we were going to start this group called Las Comadres. And there was...
And how old were you at this time?
I was probably 22. 22, okay. 23. And we began a nonprofit organization that focused on supporting women and having that relationship with their daughters. The reason I mentioned that one is so ironic. None of us had daughters, but we knew the importance.
So you were all single mothers with sons, and you started an organization to help single mothers with daughters.
Exactly. Yes. We understood the importance of family and connection and the need that there was for that. So we decided to start this group. And there was four of us. At this point now in time, there's got to be at least 75 of those professional established leader women in leadership that are part of this group now. I started doing that. That introduced
me. So the group you started is still in existence.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It's still strong.
Absolutely.
That's outstanding. Yeah.
And it's more of a sisterhood at this point, because we... involve each other and engage each other and uplift each other in our professional trajectories. We've done that in the past 20 some years. So they introduced me to the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I knew about it. I was involved with it during my time in radio and my time in other areas, but they really were the ones, because I had the pleasure of and the honor really of following the steps of great individuals like Leah Marcus Peterson, Tania Gagiola, Cecilia Mata, and Laura Aldaker, who all served in some form of leadership capacity within the Tucson Hispanic Chamber. So they nominated me to be on this board. I came on the board, and shortly after that, I really mean like two months after.
Oh, it was quick. Yeah, I remember this time.
Yeah, two months after being on the board, I became the chairwoman of the board of directors, because I asked a lot of questions and I had a lot of recommendations. So they said, well, it seems like you could be really good. So I had about 4 years within the Tucson Hispanic Chamber of Commerce.
And you dealt with some issues. There were some pain.
I'm going to call them opportunities.
There
right?
it is. Well, I've said a lot this year, because SCLC is going through a lot of changes. There's a lot of changes going on throughout the community, and change always leads to opportunity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We dealt with I'm going to call it the transition of leadership twice.
That's a good way to do it.
Twice. And I'd say on the third time, I had the opportunity to bring Rob Elias into the chamber, and they're doing great. I really appreciate what they're doing. I really appreciate that they're changing the view, the vision, and the the work that they're doing within the community. I think Rob has been in this community. He's a Tucson native. So he brought a lot of new ideas to the Tucson Hispanic Chamber. Now, I no longer serve
you
as
the chair. Southern Arizona Hispanic Chamber.
That's
I believe
right.
Just yesterday, the press release went out.
Just
that
yesterday, they announced the change. And it's not, as he called it, not, it's not a rebranding, but it's a new way of looking at the Tucson Hispanic Chamber as the Southern Arizona, because they do affiliate with chambers in different areas. And I won't speak for Rob. Rob, I'll let him come and talk to you about that change. But I think his intent and his vision, as we talked about it with, during my tenure there, was really about creating an opportunity for the smaller chambers to have that very strong support system from a chamber like the Tucson Hispanic Chamber. But the chamber really brought and opened up so many doors for me to engage in different types of opportunities. And as I was transitioning different areas, I was transitioning my careers.
Yeah, because this whole time, you know, what you were talking about there was your unpaid volunteer participation with the Hispanic Chamber.
Absolutely.
But you still had a career going on as well.
Absolutely, yeah. My career was, well, let me tell you a little bit about my career. Is that okay?
That's exactly where I wanted you to go.
Wonderful. Okay, so I began my professional career at 12 years old as a disc jockey. I then started working at Baskin Robbins at 14 years old, getting paid $2.25 an hour. I would go to my job after playing volleyball or basketball or whatever extracurricular activity I was doing at Tucson High. But my first actual career, I would say I was 22 years old, and I started working for the Department of Economic Security as a human service specialist, case manager, social worker. The title changed throughout the 17 years that I spent there. After 17 years and running programs like the healthcare benefits, the food stamps benefits, cash assistance, job training, childcare assistance, I knew that it was time for me to grow and support the community at a larger scale. So I transitioned, and luckily for me, Tony Penn from the United Way of Tucson in Southern Arizona offered me the chance to come over and expand my reach in supporting the community. So I transitioned over to the United Way and developed a resource for them, resources for them to focus on education, income, and health, still with a foundational focus on helping and changing our community for the better. I had the opportunity of meeting this incredibly wonderful, beautiful man who is my husband. And during that time, we decided that we were going to have another baby. We had a blended family. He has my two oldest daughters, and I had my two older sons. And then together we came and had my beautiful Sophia, who I think you've met. Most people meet because she's attached to my hip, and she would be here with me today, but she's at school. But everybody knows that she's my mini-me. She's always attached to me, my little Sophia. But we had Sophia, and we decided to look at to what we wanted to do for her and the family that she was going to have. And for the first time in my professional career, I had the opportunity to stay at home. And so I made a very hard decision. It was really hard. And I took a professional pause and stayed at home with her to make sure that I was there for her and I raised her. So once she started school, one morning I dropped off one kid at preschool, and I dropped off the other one at his hall as a freshman at the U of A. And I thought, okay, I think I'm good to come back. And so I went back, and my first job was at the University of Arizona, and I had different positions there. I started with housing and residential life, transitioned over to government and community relations. And then within that role, I had the opportunity to work in the Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion and opened up the inaugural Office of Multicultural Advancement, which focused on bringing and being the bridge between community and the academic leaders at the institution, and having those conversations about what is important to our community, how does the university play a role in listening to our community and the traditionally marginalized populations, what do they need, how do we support them, and how does industry and academia come together to make sure that they are successful. And after that, I made a quick pivot, and after the pandemic, It was very clear to me that technology was going to be the way of the world. And so I pivoted towards technology and I joined an amazing team. And Steve Salstra, our president and CEO, gave me the opportunity to bring a little bit of Carla into the Arizona Technology Council and oversee the leadership in Southern Arizona. And since then, it's going to be about 4 years now in March, I have been incredibly happy and have grown so much and have learned so much. I am impressed, really, with what we have in our backyard, the innovators, the technology that we have, and the way that we are changing the world is incredibly impressive. And it brings me great joy to be able to share that with so many people in so many different areas that I've had the opportunity to connect with.
Well, that's the voice of Carla Morales, the newly elected PCC board member who we'll talk with about PCC. You heard her say that's where she started her college career, and an incredible life. You filled that seamlessly. So look forward to our conversation when we get back. You are listening at 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. And we'll be right back. Stay with us through the break. Good morning and welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson. And I would say this has been kind of a little bit of a Carla Morales takeover. We had more folks inside this studio in the last 5 minutes than you could believe, from people who started their DJ careers with Carla's dad, and people just want to stop by and say hi. I think Matt Neely had to take more pictures than he's ever taken. So it's just an indication. If you were with us the first half hour, you heard the story of what I would say is not only a great example of an incredible individual, but it's a great example of what our country can do, what you can be. You immigrated to the country, you got involved, you had a dad that was driving you. Your family meant so much to driving you. And we went through your volunteer career first, and then you got to the point where you actually got paid some money to do some of these jobs that you've done so much in. And that was an incredible story. So I encourage anybody, if you weren't with us first half hour, to go back and listen to it. But the thing, one of the issues that really drove me wanting to interview Carla now is your recent election. Right. So you and I'm always confused. You are now the PCC member of the board representing District 5.
Correct.
Okay. So District 5. You started your college education at Pima Community College.
So
you obviously valued that. You valued education. You made that very clear in the opening segment. But you're pretty busy. You've still got a large family that you're still heavily involved. Sophia's, with you all the time, being the mini you. And what made you decide to run for public office?
That's funny. That is a question that people ask me, I probably say 3 or 4 times a day.
Of course. Since
I've been doing the campaigning. I want to say there is professional reasons, there is social reasons, and there's personal reasons. And I'm going to start with the personal one. As I mentioned, I started my career at Pima Community College. But the part that I didn't tell you earlier is that when I was a senior in high school, we had submitted the paperwork for my immigration status, but it was not resolved. I had no answer yet. So what I was going to do was in limbo. There was no real certainty what was held for me next. And I had the opportunity to engage in the Distributive Education Clubs of America, or the otherwise known as DECA, in high school. My teacher there, Ms. Gallego, I don't think she even realized my story, but knew that college was not going to be an option for me. So she created a scholarship under her daughter's name and paid for my 2 semesters at Pima Community College so that I had the opportunity.
And could you say her name one more time?
Mrs. Gallego.
There you go.
Mrs. Gallego. And I'm actually very lucky because her granddaughter and my daughter go to school together, so I get to see her and celebrate.
This is
her.
Tucson.
It is. One degree of separation, Tucson. Right? Yeah, and so I was given that opportunity, and luckily for me, through those 2 semesters, things worked out, and I was able to get my legal status and then get a job and pay for the continuing semesters of my education. But I tell that story because I was a DACA student before the term DACA was ever created, and the opportunity that Mrs. Gallego and the trust that she had in me meant everything. She is one of the reasons why I am who I am today, because I really don't know what I would have done.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Gallego, because I'm sure she's proud of what you've done to this point, but it's another example of what is possible.
Absolutely. And I think what's another example of is what the impact that a little bit of help can do. You don't have to necessarily be on a board, but being able to support scholarships, being able to support education is incredibly important. And from that was the personal reason why it was important for me to give back to this volunteer position. It was important for me to give back to Pima and to represent all of those individuals that think that that's not an option for them. So that's a personal reason. But the professional reason, honestly, I have been involved. I had my hand on the pulse when I worked for the Department of Economic Security. I saw the individuals that were eager to do something but felt stuck. They didn't know what to do, didn't know how to get to the next step. And I think Pima is the equalizer for those individuals. Pima provides, they are the engine for workforce development in our region. And I think it's important that we share that information, that we disseminate that information as far and wide as we can, so that individuals that feel that I didn't get to go to college, or I didn't get to go to a university, so I don't have a four-year degree, I can't have a thriving career or thriving life because I don't have that degree. That's not always true. That's the one thing I love about Pima Community College, that it is something for everybody. Whether you are transitioning into the university and you want to take your first 2 years of general eds, or whether you are changing careers, or whether you are starting your career for the first time, we create those pathways at Pima. We create those opportunities for individuals to help them feel like they're contributing members of the workforce and that they are going to be successful in providing for their families. It's important for me that we create those programs, that we share that information, and that we create that access for our community. And I knew that one way that I could do that was through the leadership approach, through supporting the programs on a wider scale, and being an advocate for education, and being an advocate and a representative for our community in the place where the decisions are being made. It was important to me.
The full disclosure, SALC did endorse Carla in her race. We were very supportive when you expressed interest and then announced that you were going to run. We believe that you will be a strong voice for what you just described. The opportunity, whether it's a certification, whether it's credentialing, whether it's more, just taking classes to get higher skill levels available for jobs, or if it's to go to the universities, or to get a two-year degree and leverage that. Post-high school education has proven time and time again that it has a positive impact, not only on a person's quality of life, but on their ability to succeed and ultimately their ability to thrive and support their families. So we greatly appreciated that. What was it like being a candidate?
It was an experience like no other. I'll say that. I think my candidacy and my campaigning was a little bit, I'm going to say a little bit different. I guess I don't have a reference, but from what I hear others, I'd say it's different because I was so incredibly supported. And again, thank you to SALC for the support, not just the endorsement, but the continuous checking in and making sure that I was well. I do have to give credit where credit is due and say that my dear colleague and board member as well on the college, Nicole Barraza, I always say she was the first person that called me about a year and a half ago and said, hey, would you ever consider doing this? And the answer was no. And she'll always tell people she told me no first. But I do say that my beginning and my endorsement and my encouragement from SLC began with her. So I do always want to make sure that I publicly thank her for that. And to thank, I was very lucky and fortunate to have 5 different former Pima Community College governing board members not only support, advise, but encourage me through this process. I always give credit to Scott Stewart because I said it last night in a meeting. He practically held my hand and walked into the campaign office with me. I've been very fortunate. It was my husband, who I mentioned earlier, and I are so different. He is 100% an introvert.
Is hard to imagine, but at the same time, I could see maybe needing that kind of personality in the household.
Absolutely. We balance each other out. We're yin and yang sometimes. It's absolutely true. But when he was very incredibly supportive, he helped develop my website. He helped develop a lot of the marketing material because my intent was to run a very slim, people-focused grassroots campaign. And so when we were canvassing, he would make fun of me because he would drive me around, and sometimes he would get off the car and he tells me one time, "You actually want people to open the door, right?" And I said, "Yeah." And he's like, "I don't. I just want to leave them the literature and leave." And I did. I loved the canvassing part. I love the signature collecting because it gave me an opportunity to answer questions, to be held accountable for what I was committing to. And I truly enjoyed that piece. I enjoyed the connecting with people, hearing what their concerns were, what their wants were. That was important to me, so I enjoyed it.
And in races like the community college or school boards, that is such an impact. People forget. Yes, it's nice to have some money. It's nice to have some money donated that gets you literature, maybe gets you some signs, all those things. It's important. That's an important piece of politics as well. But if you just look at the school boards, particularly PCC, Teresa Rial, who's on the board with you now, she 2 years ago won her seat when she had 1/10 of the funding of the incumbent, who she mm-hmm. defeated. So it's really that getting out and making that connection. That's what anybody listening to the show can tell. Okay, Carla's got the ability to connect with people. And I think your vision of PCC is going to be great. What do you see with the new makeup of the board? Three new board members, and Teresa Rial and Greg Taylor are both remaining on the board. But based on what you've experienced so far and through the campaign and what you think people want, what do you see the difference between this board with three new members and maybe the boards in the past 2 to 6 years? What's going to be the difference?
I think the difference is that Chris and Nicole and I talked about this. The one thing that we bring differently is that this board is now made up of mostly working professionals that have young children. So our time and focus is going to be 100% on Pima Community College and the outcomes and how we can best support them. We are going to be very limited with our time. So there's not going to be a lot of, we are going to work ahead of time. And we had an orientation on Saturday, an all-day orientation on Saturday.
You're already finding out that it's going to take more time than you thought.
Oh, absolutely. It is definitely going to be much more time consuming, but it's a well-invested time. So I appreciate that. But I think we have a very different mindset. And it kind of goes back to what you asked me earlier, the other reason why I decided to do this. I have a responsibility to the member companies of the Arizona Technology Council. And my responsibility to them is to ensure that they have a prepared, established workforce that will make them be successful in their businesses. Each one of us has a role within the community where we have a responsibility to the community to ensure that our workforce and our community is strong and it's thriving. And so when we come into this role as board members, this is what we bring. Our the needs not just of our individual persons, but we have the needs of a larger group that come behind us that we represent. The other part that I think we're very lucky is our chancellor is amazing. Oh my gosh, Dr. Nassi is one of the most incredibly engaging and connected individuals I've experienced. No disregard to Chancellor Lambert. I loved him too. He was amazing. But I'm really, really looking forward to working with Dr. Nassi. He has spent the first 100 days here in Tucson, and he went to just about everything. I know that he was at SALC many times. He was at many of our events with the Arizona Technology Council. I'm really looking forward to working with him and supporting his work and supporting his leadership team so that we are all working in a very collaborative approach.
And I think his vision is very similar to what you've described. It's to provide opportunities. Opportunities, and really important is ensure that there's a pathway to success.
Absolutely.
If you're going the 2-year approach at PCC and then going to the universities, you have to be set up for success at that university. So the education you get at PCC's got to ground you. Same thing if you're getting a certification. It's not just about a piece of paper.
Right.
You've got to have the skills to succeed. And I think in a lot of ways, he's focused on that too. What Centers of Excellence has been something that's come up a lot lately, because that's some of the things specific on skill training and certifications. Do you see that continuing with this board?
Absolutely. It'll definitely be one of my goals to make sure that it continues. I think it's important. Again, I get to talk to our community and I get to engage with our industry partners. I know what they need, and we do absolutely need to make sure that these Centers of Excellence continue to thrive and be showcased to understand, so that the rest of the community understands the value that they bring to us and the people that they produce. It is impressive. And I encourage everybody out there, if you haven't visited them, if you're not aware of them, please visit the website, reach out to one of us. We want to make sure that you are aware of what options are there at those centers and the kind of individuals, the type of workforce that we are developing from those centers.
And that's a great place to leave this on. It's important that as these centers of excellence continue to grow, there's going to be new opportunities. We're going to cut to a break now because Carla and I are going to discuss during the break what we're going to talk about when we get back. It may be PCC some more. It may be the Arizona Tech Council. But that's the voice of Carla Morales, the new District 5 representative on the Pima Community College Board. You're listening to 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk. Stay with us through the break. Thank you very much. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson, the Engagement Hour. Matt Neely's been keeping us on point as we've gone through the day, and he's tacted the music selections. He's diverted to the incredibly popular guest I've got with me today here in the radio. Little did I know, when I saw that you'd been a DJ at the age of 12, I'm going, well, this is going to be fun. And then just the number of people that have come by the studio here, Bustos Media, that's got numerous different radio stations that they support, and they've come by and said hi. So you've obviously been known in you and your family, known in the radio industry and the disc jockey industry. And so that's been a lot of fun. So Carl and I are going to take a twist. We've kind of talked a lot about PCC, and again, congratulations and thank you for what you're doing. I have no doubt under the new board, we're going to have some solid leadership, and Chancellor Nassy is going to be able to go where he wants to go with it. And there will be some changes and some of his own sparks, but everything, he is absolutely engaged. This morning, I left him at a Tucson Values Teachers meeting inside SLC's offices. So he's out in the community. And if you haven't met him, you're going to probably have an opportunity over the next time. But let's talk about the Arizona Tech Council. So you kind of made a shift post-pandemic and decided, all right, technology is the future. And Steve Zylstra, the CEO of the Arizona Tech Council, is truly an amazing human being. So why don't you let our listeners know a little bit, what is the Tech Council and what do they do? And specifically, what are you doing for the Tech Council here in Southern Arizona?
Yeah, thank you so much for that. And I agree with you. Steve Zylstra is an amazing leader and an amazing individual with an incredible background in technology. And if you know Steve, he's also an incredible person that has the most well-known passion for moving fast, whether it's in a Corvette or a motorcycle. We cannot have a conversation about Steve without mentioning his motorcycle. And actually, he'll be here today joining us as we celebrate the holidays for the Arizona Technology Council CEO Network at Howard Stewart's house. So we'll get to see him later on today. A little bit more about the Arizona Technology Council. It is incredible to me how lucky I got to be selected to be part of this team. The Arizona Technology Council, for those people that don't know, is Arizona's premier trade association for science and technology companies. We get to work and collaborate with enterprises that focus on STEM all across the state. And I have to be fair to say, really all across the world, because we do have quite a large member base in the Mexico region, as closely as Sonora and all the way to Mexico City. But we also have the opportunity to work with international companies, whether it's in the Netherlands and Taiwan, and just so many different places in Europe, where they are fascinated by the work that we're doing here, and specifically in Southern Arizona, and the work that we're doing with optics and photonics. And I'd love to share a little bit more about the work that we're doing there in a little bit. But the Tech Council is here to support the tech sector, to ensure that Arizona is known as the tech hub of the nation. I think we've done a phenomenal job. In the Phoenix area, we're focused on semiconductors and advanced manufacturing. In Southern Arizona, we are focused predominantly on aerospace, mining, technology and mining, and optics and photonics, among a few others. But those are the areas where we focus and we support the technology and innovation that happens. We're lucky to have partners like IBM and the Tech Parks and Applied Energetics and so many others that really support and encourage the growth of the tech sector within the Arizona region.
Well, you brought up a couple strengths of Arizona, and sometimes people don't like to talk about mining, but the fact of the matter is the mines of today, because of technology, are not the mines of 20, 30, even 10 years ago. It's changing that fast. But you mentioned specifically optics, one of the strengths of the University of Arizona. So why don't you fill us in before we're going to go till the end, till the music starts playing, we're going to be talking. So why don't you take us down the optics road and what you see as the potential future for Southern Arizona and the growth we could have down here.
Absolutely. Optics, when people think about optics, I just want to make sure, and I know that your listening audience is wide, and so I want to make sure that people understand that when we talk about optics and photonics, we're talking about lenses and lasers. And when we talk about lenses and lasers, it has such a diverse background, whether it's lasers that are in helicopters or lenses that are on your cell phone or the mirrors that are up at the,
Hubble?
Thank you, Hubble and Kitt Peak. But we've had such a great impact in the world when it comes to the work that we're doing in optics and photonics. We are actually putting together a conference coming up January 22nd through the 24th. The Arizona Photonics Day Conference is a precursor to Photonics West. We will be at the Tech Parks, and we have companies from all over the world coming to share with us the research, the findings, the innovation that they've created within the world. And then they come to listen from our experts, our subject matter experts, from the College of Optical Sciences, from Edmund Optics, from Ruta Optical, from such a wide range of businesses in the industry of optics and photonics. And we get to celebrate the impact that we have on the world, not just in Southern Arizona, not just in Tucson, not just across the nation, but really across the world. And so I encourage everyone to come join us for that event, because you would be blown away by the amount of information that you can get from a 3-day conference about optics and photonics.
That's a great plug. And it also demonstrates how the University of Arizona, what's going on research-wise at the university, does play out into our community.
Absolutely. And I think it's important that we talk about how optics and photonics are not just about lasers and lenses, but the impact that they have on whether it's biomedical technology, the sensing and metrology technology, astronomy, quantum technology. All of those are, incredibly impacted and influenced and supported by the work that we're doing with optics and photonics here in our region.
Absolutely. Well, we're starting to hear some of the music coming in. So that's the voice of Carla Morales, the newest member of the Pima Community College Board, but also the senior vice president, the vice president of the Arizona Tech Council down here for Southern Arizona. Any final thoughts?
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time. Happy holidays to everyone. Look forward to seeing you out and about in the community. And if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. I love talking to people.
Incredible interview. Thank you for your time, Matt. Thank you for all the work you're doing back there. And Grant Kruger will be on tomorrow at 9:00. I failed to plug his guest, so listen to Wake Up Tucson and you'll hear it's going to be in the morning. Thank you, everybody. Happy holidays, and we're out.